Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Please be seated. In Peter Schaeffer's play Amadeus, later made into the Oscar-winning film, the genius Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart runs afoul of the musical powers that be. Permit me a little dramatic diversion. Mozart says, "Look at us, four gaping mouths, a perfect quartet. I'd love to write it just this second of time, this now, as you are." Herr Chamberlain thinking, "Impertinent Mozart, I must speak to the emperor at once." Herr Prefect thinking, "Ignorant Mozart, debasing opera with his vulgarity." Herr Court Composer thinking, "German Mozart, what can he finally know about music?" And Mozart himself, in the middle, thinking, "I'm just a good fellow, why do they all disapprove?" That's why opera's important, Baron. Because it's realer than any play. A dramatic poet would have to put all those thoughts down, one after another, to represent just the second of time. But a composer can put them all down at once and still make us hear each one of them. Astonishing device, a vocal quartet. I tell you, I want to write a finale lasting a half an hour. A quartet becoming a quintet, becoming a sextet, on and on and on, wider and wider. All sounds multiplying and rising together and then together making a sound entirely new. I bet you that's how God hears the world. Millions of sounds ascending at once and mixing in his ear to become unending music unimaginable to us. That's our job, we composers, to combine the inner minds of him and him and him and her, the thoughts of chambermaids and court composers, and turn the audience into God. Today is Gaudete Sunday, as you pronounce it in Latin, or for us Anglicans, Gaudet Sunday, coming from the Greek word meaning rejoice. It is a moment to pause amid the sometimes gloomy penitential preparation that is the Advent season. A moment to pause and rejoice. We allow ourselves a little anticipatory Christmas, like how my family used to open one present, usually from my aunt, on Christmas Eve. And why shouldn't we get a break from the frenzy of the season? Why not a little peek at the joy to come? After all, didn't Jesus Christ already come? Is he not already here among us? So rejoice and sing. When Zephaniah enjoins us to sing, I think he means a little of what Mozart is trying to tell his musical powers that be. Mozart admittedly gets a little carried away, but I think there's a lesson here. Music as a metaphor, as a way of thinking about how we check and combine even the conflicting impulses within us and between us. A play can bring voices together, but only by alternately silencing and amplifying various voices. But in opera, in music, in liturgy, there's rhythm and harmony, and dare we say, redemption. The possibility of bringing voices together and making it possible to hear each one and all of them at the same time. In this Advent season, I encourage you to sing, because music makes sense of the noise and of the silence, so that noise can actually be noted and quiet finally felt as rest. The choir catches that pun. No matter where you are on the spectrum, silent ones or loud ones, God comes into the world to transform us all into musical ones. The silent ones. For those of you that prefer the silence, if you're here at the 10:30, you're big on music. But there are those of us that crave silence in various ways. And our challenge is to move from control to rhythm. I crave silence. In fact, there's a moment in the liturgy which I absolutely dread that a former rector of mine really ruined for me for various reasons. You see, after hearing a sermon and then confessing our faith together and confessing our sins, and we're sharing the peace, we all turn toward the altar and we begin this marvelous miracle of communion. And there's that moment of anticipation where 50-50, my rector might start chanting. I'd wait, and I'd get, "The Lord be with you." Oh, phew, great. But if it was, "The Lord be with you," my heart dropped through the floor. Which is weird, because it's the sursum corda. It's lifting your heart, and my heart's on the floor, because I don't want to sing. Singing makes me feel self-conscious. It makes me feel vulnerable. I'm not a musical person, and you're stealing my liturgy from me. I like my liturgy just so, and this isn't helping. Didn't you hear that little voice? That pain in the conscience, also known as Jesus? "Hey, Kevin, what is it that you don't like about it? It makes me feel vulnerable and uncomfortable." I'd say that's a pretty good posture for Eucharist. "Shut up, Jesus." Silence can be a good thing. Anyone who's caught up in the frenzy around Christmas preparation knows that a little bit of silence can go a long way. And there are also those silences that are forced upon us. The absence of loved ones around a very important time of the year when we associate with family. Sometimes silence comes for us. It's not something we choose. And in either case, we need those breaks. But when Scripture says, "Sing aloud, daughter Zion, shout, O Israel," we should always pay attention when the Scripture speaks in the imperative. They may just mean us. Silence can be about contemplation and opening yourself up to God, but it can also be about control. What are we trying to shut up or shut down? Who are we trying to shut up or shut down when we create these silences for ourselves? Do not be afraid to lift up your heart in this season and your voice with it. Silence is always to be a part of a larger rhythm, punctuated by noise, sound, and light. But if you're on the other side of the spectrum, the loud ones, your challenge is to move from noise to harmony. I crave noise. Loud industrial metal is my bread and butter. I love it. And though I hate singing, I confess, I love karaoke. Which is a way that you can sing through layers and layers of distance and irony. It's a mask you put on. You see, even in the noise, you can get lost, and that's precisely why some of us pursue it. There's a reason the choir puts on robes. To remind them that this isn't a performance. That's not a costume, it's a uniform. Just as clergy put on robes to call again to mind the task at hand. You're not doing it because you're performing. You can lose yourself in a performance. But if you're leading worship, then you're encouraging everyone into the song that you're singing. We sing songs for ourselves. We are closing. We can fall into the trap of closing things off. Just as efficiently as enforced silence, enforced meaningless noise in the holiday season has just the same effect. And we need to ask ourselves the same questions. When we're performing in this ceaseless season of performativity, buying gifts, shopping, making food, pleasing people, what are we trying to run away from? What are we shutting up? What are we shutting down? Who are we trying to shut down? Where can we find the harmony, the real music that we're looking for? Indeed, when a voice cries in the wilderness, it is the answer to a song. When Zephaniah pronounces his prophecy, he enjoins Israel to sing. And when Israel does sing, God replies with great singing. Jesus is that song. And so God sends a conductor, a choir master, a music director to prepare us for that song, to prepare us on how to sing it, to check our worst impulses when it comes to things. You'll notice that the advice that John has to give is quite banal. He tells people, you have to share. Whoever has two coats must give up one, and whoever has food must do likewise. The lesson is share. That's pretty simple. He tells the tax collectors to only collect what they've been authorized to collect. He tells soldiers not to extort and use violence for personal gain. This is how far the system has gone off the rails, that he's telling people moral platitudes and they approach it as near revolution. Because it's just that radical to call someone back to the music that they should be singing, back to the rhythm they've fallen off of. It's no accident that the very next verse, John's in prison. John is calling us to sing. Song is the true medium between noise and silence. It's the way that we can finally bring silence and noise together and make us hear and feel each part of it. We are all called to be choir masters for the world, to enjoin people to sing a new song unto the Lord and do that new thing that Isaiah sees. And John is here to prepare us for it, to call us out of our unforced silences and our meaningless noise into something more, something greater. Because that's our job, like Mozart says. That's our job, we Christians, to touch the souls of those around us, to combine the inner souls of him and him and him and her and her, the thoughts of Uber drivers and Amazon executives, the prayers of clergy and lay, the voices of choir and congregation, to turn this broken, hurting world to God. And so I say to you, rejoice in the Lord again. I will say, rejoice and sing.